Happy New Year. How many of you heard me last year? All right, then the next question is very easy. How many of you have read your Bible every day in 2023? Not near the same amount of hands. So we have to do this again. And next year, when we have 100%, I'll be done. I should be out of business. But until then, let me go back over 50 years, my own story. Grew up in Colorado Springs, 15 years old, out with a friend of mine. We're going to do a little joyride. Now, you should have a clue right there, because at 15, you ought not be out having a joyride. We did that because we could take his father's car. We could take his dad's car because his dad was never home. And his dad was never home because he was serving in Vietnam. Yes, it was the Vietnam era in the early 70s. So we went out east to Colorado Springs. He got the car up to 60 miles an hour. We're flying down this dirt road, and he loses control of the car. We're now heading into this ditch, and he spins the wheel to avoid the ditch, and the car tumbles 2.5 times down the dirt road at 60 miles an hour. And I don't remember what happened. I don't know if I was thrown out of the car, if I crawled out of the car, but I was sitting on the dirt road, and I was looking at the totaled car and wondering if I was okay. Can I walk? Am I broken? Am I bleeding everywhere? And I patted myself down, and I could stand up. And I stood up on that dirt road, and I looked at that car. And then the sheriff came and wrote up the accident. And he said, "It's a miracle you guys are alive." Got home that night. And after all the day of activity, when something like that happens, my mom said to me, "You got to get down on your knees and thank God you're alive." And 15 years old, I always did what my mother said. Right. Why are you laughing? Obviously, you didn't. But that time I did. I lay down in my bed in my room and I thought, what happened today? I should have died. It could have been over. I was a passenger, not the driver. I didn't have any control. And God saved my life physically at that moment. And I thought about it at 15 years old and I said, okay, you showed me a lesson right now that you can take my life any day, any moment. So I'm going to live for you because you kept me alive. So whatever you kept me alive for, I'm going to find that reason and I'm going to live for you. And that was my moment, my born-again experience, whatever we want to call it. And then I heard a voice. And that voice said to me, "There's a Bible on your bookshelf. Get it down and read it." Now, I must have heard something because I got up off the bed. I walked over to my bookshelf and I pulled down the Bible that was on my bookshelf. And I opened it like any other book to chapter 1. And I read Genesis chapter 1. The next day I read Genesis chapter 2. The next day I read Genesis chapter 3. For 3.5 years, every day, I read the Bible until I finished somewhere 18 years old. And then I thought that's what Christians did, was read their Bibles. So I just started over and over and over. And that's why I can stand here and say that I've basically been a daily Bible reader since I was 15 years old. Because the day I got saved, God put the Word of God in my heart. Now, I fast forward my life. I had a nice career. I have a political science degree. I got a job at the state capitol on the legislative staff. Then I entered the business community. And about 20 years ago, I sensed that voice again. The call of God to do something for him. And what he wanted me to do was encourage people to get back into the Word. And so I started the Ezra Project 21 years ago with the sole purpose of connecting God's people to God's Word. And how's that gone in 20-some years? Well, today, still, my number one concern is the neglect, the indifference among Christians about the Bible. Think about it. It's not really the opposition anymore. It's the church itself that can't figure out what this is. So Dr. Woodrow Kroll, who was the president of Back to the Bible at one time, said it this way. He said the Bible has survived the attacks of its critics, but is struggling to survive the neglect of its friends. That's us, right? So when I started in 2002, daily Bible reading was about 15%. Today, after the pandemic, it stands at about 10%. Where are we at with the Word of God? Where are the friends of the Bible? Where's the church at? So Lifeway Research, Charisma Magazine, wrote this. Yet when it comes to our nation understanding the Bible, we're moving from dumb to dumber. And it's no laughing matter. Non-Christians don't have even the general idea of the Bible they once did. And Christians are not seeing the life change that real Bible engagement brings. The result is a nation in spiritual freefall. We are living in a post-biblically literate culture. We have a Bible literacy deficit in part because we have a spiritual maturity deficit. Plenty of research shows the correlation between spiritual maturity and reading the Bible. You simply won't grow if you don't know God and spend time in His Word. Every year, Barna Research does a state of the Bible. And so in 2023, here were some of their findings. Fewer people in America are engaging with the Bible. Scripture engagement is not rising yet. It continues on a downward trajectory. We see what is happening as the Bible leaves our lives, our families, and the public discourse, don't we? We can see it. We know. For those of us who have been around for a while, we can continually see the decline of morality in our country because of the neglect of God's Word. So 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, tell us, maybe this is where we're at. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Is that where the church is today? How many people in church this morning in Denver, in our country and around the world, are going to hear a gospel message, a biblical message this morning? Have we turned our ears to fables? So let's look a little bit more closely at that state of the Bible report. It says, while time was an issue across the board, nearly a third of the Bible disengaged blame lack of excitement about reading it. The Bible isn't an integral part of their lives because there's no desire driving them to it. They don't find it exciting. Another common response was, I don't know where to start. You realize only 1 in 5 Americans have ever read the whole Bible? Are you one? 1 in 5 Americans that have ever read the whole Bible. And while 1 in 4 have never read more than a few sentences. So, going on with the survey, when asked, do you wish you used the Bible more? More than half of those surveyed said yes. Maybe you do too. Do you wish you used the Bible more? In fact, the state of the Bible survey indicates that nearly 3 in 4 Americans are curious about the Bible and or Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? That 3 out of 4 people outside this door are interested, curious about Jesus and the Bible. That gives us hope that we can go out and speak to them about it. Now, you hope you get the 3 out of 4 that are interested, because the 1 out of 4 that are not might rough you up a little bit. But you got to take that chance in 2024, right? Because they're curious about the Word. So let's get bold as defenders of the Word and share it this year and see what response we might get from those 3 out of 4 people that are curious about the Bible. So is there evidence that this thing might get turned around? Yes. The number of people downloading Bible apps is growing. That's good news. And according to publisher of the Bible, Zondervan, all sales of translations are up this year. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what I hope to do this morning is create that excitement that some people seem to lack about spending time in the Word of God this year. And I would hope and propose that you would spend each time, every day, some time in God's Word in 2024. So let's turn to our text this morning. It's in Psalm 19, it's verses 7 through 11. And then we're going to also include Psalm 119, 103. So first, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. And if you would stand in honor of God's Word as you're flipping to it on your phone or your Bible, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The Word of God says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Then flip over to Psalm 119, verse 103. Psalm 119, 103. That single verse says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And you could be seated. And that's my message this morning. It's called "Sweeter Than Honey." You know, God made the heavens and the earth, and he gave us his word. And David described it right there as perfect, sure, wise, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous. More to be desired than fine gold, and sweeter than honey to our mouths. And in keeping the word of God, there is great reward. That's what we want in 2024, right? Let's keep the word of God and see what God will do in our hearts and in our lives. But is the word of God sweeter than honey to the church today? Is it desirable? Is it exciting? Or do we see it as an old, dusty book? Are we excited about this book? Or do we look at it and do we look at it as an integral part of our lives, a source of truth? Or do we have itching ears? And are we turning aside to fables? What does it mean when the Word of God says that it's sweeter than honey? Well, Albert Barnes was a pastor in the mid-1800s, and he wrote about it. He said, when David described it, "Honey was the sweetest of all substances and regarded as an article of luxury. The truth of God, as revealed, affords more pleasure to the soul than that which is esteemed as the highest luxury to the palate. It is loved, it is pleasant, it is agreeable. It is not regarded merely as necessary, as medicine is, but it is received into the soul because it is delighted in. Or it is more agreeable and pleasant than the most luscious article of food to the taste." So what would that be for you today? If you could put the most exciting, most luscious thing in your mouth right now, what would it be? Would it be a Krispy Kreme donut? Would it be chocolate? Would it be one more of those Christmas cookies? What would it be? What's the sweetest thing you could put in your mouth right now? And whatever that is what the Word of God is to your soul. It is the sweetest thing you can feed your inner man, your soul, is the Word of God. It is sweeter than honey. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So what drives people to read the Bible? The State of the Bible survey, that same 2023 survey, asked about people's motivations. Bible users were given 7 options to complete this one sentence. The sentence was, "I use the Bible because." They had to choose just one. And the most popular response to "I use the Bible because" was, "It brings me closer to God." We would all probably agree with that, right? Yes, the Bible brings us closer to God. Others said, I use the Bible because I need wisdom to make life decisions. We would agree. We can get wisdom from making life decisions. And the third most popular was because they needed comfort. Yes, many people after COVID lost hope, and they need comfort. And we can direct them, those 3 out of 4 people outside the walls of the church, back to hope, comfort in the Word of God. So yes, the Bible can bring us closer to God. Yes, it offers wisdom for life decisions. Yes, it offers comfort. So are there other reasons, though, to read the Bible in 2024? Yes, those are good reasons. But what about biblical reasons? Does the Bible tell us that we should be reading the Word of God daily? Let's look at a few passages. Let's challenge ourselves once again. And we'll begin with one. You probably know all these, but John 1:1. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is God. The Word is God. That should be reason enough. No more message. I could sit down right now, because if we all believe that this is the Word of God and the Word is God, why wouldn't we want to spend time in it each day in 2024? But you might need some more convincing. So let's look at Joshua 1:8. Does God really tell us to read the Bible daily? Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it when? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I expected that if you were making New Year's resolutions today, that that's what you would want. You would want prosperity and good success in 2024. And God just gave us the formula to do that. And that's meditate in His Word day and night. And then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Hallelujah. So you can't meditate in the Word of God day and night if we're not in it. Acts 17:11 through 12 tells us about a people who did that. Those are the Bereans. And the verses say, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures," when?
Daily.
"To find out whether these things were so." So do you pick up your Bible with readiness? And do you search the scriptures daily? Be a Berean in 2024. And then lastly, God thinks His word is pretty important. How important? Let's look at Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, "For you have magnified your word above your name." Really? God puts this above His own name? That's what it says. So I get to do TV once in a while about the Bible, and I was with a pastor, and we were going to do a television show on the Word of God, and he opened with this verse. And he said when he read it, it shocked him, like it might shock you and me today, that God would put His Word above His name. So he prayed about it. He said, "Lord, is that true? Is that the case?" And he said, in 17 years as a pastor, this was the quickest answer to prayer he ever got. When God said to him, "If my word is no good, my name is no good." Wow. He thinks His word is pretty important. Do we? Do we cherish His word so much that we want to spend time in it each day of our lives? So many of us believe these things, right? Yet we don't seem to be able to find the time. I won't ask for hands, but some of you that didn't make it through all year reading the Bible every day, what is the issue? The issue is time. We're so busy with our lives that we seem to crowd out the time with the person we say is the most important, and that's God. So let's tackle the issue of time. I want to make God's word so appealing, sweeter than honey, that you will have a spoonful of honey every day this year. So, how do we make time for Bible reading? Psalm 55:17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." So, how many of you are morning people? How many of you are night owls? How many of you are neither? We got to find the time that's best for us. And it'll be different. When I started at 15 years old after that car accident, I read my Bible each night. And as 15 and through my teenage years, that was a difficult challenge because I didn't know what condition I would be when I got home, how tired I would be, and what time I would get in. So I got to college and I got in a Bible study with some guys, and they said, why don't you try to give God your first fruits? Why don't you do your Bible study in the morning? So they challenged me, so I took it up, and it became way easier, way better for me, because I could control my mornings way better than I could control the last thing of the day. So you decide what's best for you. Is it best in the morning? Best in the evening? I have a friend in California that reads his Bible every day at noon. So whatever it is, decide today, when am I going to read the Bible in 2024 on a consistent basis? Next, consider tithing your time. Now, we all have to sleep. We all have to go to work. So you take out that time of a day. And generally, we have about 6 hours of discretionary time each day. So 6 hours, if you tithe that, would be 360 minutes or 36 minutes. Can you commit in 2024 to tithe 10% of your free time to Bible study and prayer? If you do, round it off to about 30 minutes. Can you give God 30 minutes in 2024 of each day? Of each 24-hour day that he gives you, can you give him 30 minutes? And if you do, you're giving him 2% of your 24-hour day. Is he worth it? Can you find time to give God 2% of your 24-hour day in 2024? Let's drop the excuse of no time. Let's decide to give God his priority in our lives each day. Secondly, read to be transformed, not informed. And that will help you with your Bible reading. It's not just to do it, but it's to do it and be transformed. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't think anything goes deeper in your human psyche than this, than the word of God. That's what it tells us right there. It deals with your inner soul. So we want to be transformed, not informed. I'd like to share a little story I found about transformation from the Bible. It's a story about an old man who lived on a farm in the mountains of Kentucky with his young grandson. And each morning, Grandpa was up early, sitting at the kitchen table, reading from his old, worn-out Bible. His grandson wanted to be just like him, and he tried to imitate him every way he could. One day, the grandson said, Papa, I try to read the Bible just like you, but I don't understand it. And what I do understand, I forget as soon as I close the book. What good does reading the Bible do? The grandfather quietly turned from putting coal in the stove and said, take this coal basket down to the river and bring back a basket of water. The boy did as he was told, even though all the water leaked out before he could get back to the house. The grandfather laughed and said, you'll have to move a little faster this time. And he sent him back to the river with the basket to try again. This time the boy ran faster, but again the basket was empty before he returned home. Out of breath, he told his grandfather that it was impossible to carry water in a basket, and he went to get a bucket instead. The old man said, I don't want a bucket of water. I want a basket of water. You can do this. You're just not trying hard enough. And he went out the door to watch the boy try again. At this point, the boy knew it was impossible, but he wanted to show his grandfather that even if he ran as fast as he could, the water would leak out before he got very far at all. The boy scooped the water, ran hard, but when he reached the grandfather, the basket was empty. Out of breath, he said, see, Papa, it's useless. So you think it's useless, the old man said. Look at the basket. The boy looked at the basket. For the first time, he realized that the basket looked different. Instead of a dirty old coal basket, it was clean. Son, that's what happens when you read the Bible. You might not understand or remember anything, but when you read it, it will change you from the inside out. So let's read the Bible in 2024, not to be informed, but to be transformed from the inside out. And then lastly, let's read the Bible because it applies to our daily lives. James 1, 22 through 25 say, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." We know that verse. We repeat it. Let's be doers of the word, not hearers only. But I think the most important part of that verse is not that. It's he who continues in it. That's the habit of daily Bible reading, staying close to God so he can stay close to you. So I don't read the Bible because it's a checklist. I don't read it because I have to. I don't read it because somebody stands in a pulpit and tells me to. I do it because it applies to my life. And I'm going to share just a couple stories about that. It was about 12 years ago, almost exactly. It was December 28, 2011, when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Immediately after that, I was scheduled for a bone scan and a CT scan to see what condition I was in. Was the cancer spreading? Was it contained? What was going to happen? That test was 7 days out, so I had a week. And you know, some of you have had that kind of news in your life. And it's tragic. It's heartbreaking. You have no idea, and you can't help but think about life and death. Am I going to live? Am I going to die? Is this it? Is this how I'm going to go? So in my week of waiting for the test, in my normal Bible reading, here's some of the passages that I read. I didn't choose these passages. It was just my normal course of reading the Bible. It happened to be in Psalms. January 1, that diagnosis was December 28. January 1, Psalm 3:3. "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled." I'm going to have a bone scan. "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love." That was Psalm 6, verses 2 and 4. January 3rd, 2 days before the bone scan and the CT scan, Psalm 17:3. "You have tried my heart, you have visited me by night, you have tested me, and you will find nothing." Before the test. January 8th, after the test, found that it was contained and it hadn't spread. Psalm 42, 2 through 4. "The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give up on him to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restored him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me." He couldn't have texted me any more clearly, could he? Just a daily time in God's word in crisis. He speaks, he heals, he comforts. In 2016, the Ezra Project, we were seeking a way to have greater impact than just speaking in churches. So the board, we all fasted and prayed for 3 months to come up with some new way of connecting God's people to God's word. For 3 months, we were going to have a board meeting on April 1st of that year, and I had nothing to take to the board. God hadn't answered any prayer at all for 3 months, no new direction, no nothing to take to the board. That day, April 1st, I read Jeremiah chapter 1 in my normal Bible reading time, my daily time. And that's the passage where God says, "I will watch over my word to perform it." And he asked Jeremiah, he says, "Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see?" I finished the passage. I was getting ready to go on with my day. And the Lord says to me, "Stop, read it again, put your name in there. Alan, what do you see? What do you see?" First time, "Alan, what do you see?" So I'm waiting. I'm listening to the Lord. I see things moving. I say, "Okay, I see waves." And he says, "Yes, that means you're going to do things you did, but you're going to do some new things." Next time, "Alan, what do you see?" I wait. And I start to see people with earbuds hanging down their face. I'm not an earbud guy. And he says to me, I want you to put the Word of God in people's ears. I want you to do an app. I'm a non-technical guy. I don't know what an app is, much less create one. But that's what God gave me the day of the board meeting. I go to the board. I said, I think we're supposed to do something new. We're supposed to do something different. We're supposed to create an app and put the Bible in people's ears. Off we went to try to do that with no clue as to how to do that. Now it's 5 months later. It's in August. And I'm going to record my first recording of an app. I have set up a studio downstairs in my basement. And I'm ready to go downstairs and try to do this. And I am scared to death. I have no idea how to do this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to turn a microphone on. I'm going to read a passage and I'm going to somehow try to explain God's word on an app. I don't know what to do. That day, I was in Ezekiel chapter 3. Here's what it said. Go shut yourself within your house. My studio was in my house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And here's what I wrote in my journal that day. Wow, once again, God speaks clearly, directly into my life circumstance, exactly concerning the Ezra podcast. It wasn't about me, was it? It was about go down those steps. I will open your mouth and you will say, thus says the Lord. I recorded something on every chapter of the Bible, every book of the Bible, over the next 3.5 years, because God's word is applicable to my life. And the days and the moments, the challenges, he speaks through his word. Does it happen every day, friends? No. Does it happen some days? Yes. Will it happen more days if you're in it every day? Absolutely. I read the Word of God because it's applicable to my daily life. So the other reason that people say they don't read the Bible is because they don't know where to start. So maybe you're there. Maybe you don't know where to go in 2024. Start tomorrow. So the Ezra Project is going to offer a plan for anybody who wants to join us in reading the Bible. And our plan in 2024 is to start with the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1 tomorrow. We're going to go through the writings of Matthew and Luke, which is the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts. That'll take us about through March. Then we're going to go to the writings of the major prophets. We're going to read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, some Old Testament. We're going to stay in the Old Testament through the summer and through the fall with the writings of Old Testament leaders like Nehemiah, Ezra, Joshua. So that will be a lot of fun. And we're going to finish the year at the end of the year with the writings of John, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. So we're going to start the year in the first chapter of the New Testament, Matthew 1. We're going to finish the year in the last chapter of the New Testament, Revelation 22. If you want to join us, the books are out there, and you don't need a book. If you want to just do it, you just pick up that ad Bible that I just talked about, and there'll be there. We'll follow the same pattern every day, free app. Just load it on your phone and join us about 10 minutes a day, and we'll go through all those four books in 2024. Or you'll do your own plan, whatever you like. But that's the plan the Ezra Project will offer you if you don't know where to start. So we conclude with this. Commit to daily Bible reading. Commit to seek his word every day, and you will come closer to God in 2024 if you spend time in his word each and every day. I give this message many times. This lady took me up on it 1 year. And here's what she had to say. Many years ago, I accepted Alan's challenge to be in the Bible daily. I made that decision out of a deep desire to know the Lord. Just what we've said. It will bring you closer to God. His word infused my days in countless ways, and I was blessed beyond measure. As the years went by, I was unaware of the transformation. We talked about reading for transformation, not information. I was unaware of the transformation that was underway. I did not realize a firm foundation was forming. Then the storm came. A call from the doctor. A devastating diagnosis. A wave of despair, but then peace. A peace that had been woven into the foundation of my very life. Peace that had been built through daily time in his word and existed long before it was ever needed. As I tried to process what the doctor was saying, God's word draped my shoulders and spoke to every fear that existed. And I knew, because he told me through his word many times before, that my future was secure. What began as a simple commitment on a 3x5 card became a lifetime anchor, both then and now. Yeah, make a commitment to read the word in 2024. Then, be intentional. Decide what time is best for you. Is it night? Is it morning? Is it noon? Whatever it is, decide today when you're going to read the Bible. Henry Ironside was one of the most loved and most effective Bible teachers in the early 20th century. According to a close friend, Ironside devoted the first hour of every day to Bible study and prayer. On one occasion, he was lecturing at a seminary, and a student asked him, "Dr. Ironside, I understand that you get up every morning to read and study the Bible." "Oh, I've been doing that ever since I became a Christian," he said. "Well, how do you manage to do it?" the student asked. "Do you pray about it?" "No, I get up." Right? Be intentional this year in your Bible reading. And then journal. I encourage you to journal. I've been journaling my Bible reading every day since 1983. Jeremiah 30, verse 2 says, "Write it in a book for yourself, all the words that I've spoken to you." God is going to speak to you through his word, so you can journal. You can get a journal, or every one of these books has a section called My Thoughts. So after you go through the book with me on this, these chapters, my comments, the application, the prayer, then it's time you can jot something down. So maybe you'll journal, because maybe you've struggled in the past, and this may be the way that God will help you stay in his word each time this year. So those are the opportunities that I offer you one more time. I hope to not have to do this next year. Let me know about December 1st. If they've 100%, then I won't have to come. But until then, Pastor Dave, would you join me at the platform?
I love honey. Love honey. All things honey. Okay.
So the word of God is sweeter than honey to our mouths, to our soul, right? And maybe you'll go home today with your spouse, your significant other, your friend, your sibling. Find a jar of honey. Do the same thing. Offer each other honey as a reminder that this year you're going to read the word of God, because it's the sweetest thing you can feed your soul. A spoonful of honey.
That's sweeter than the Charger victory over the Broncos.
I knew I shouldn't have invited him up here. So will you pray with me about our commitment, our intention, and our opportunity to see the Word of God work in our lives?